Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. As you mentioned earlier, you forget that the NBA Finals is still going on. I mean, that's sort of the way I am in every one of these sports other than football. When my team gets eliminated, especially in the postseason, I'm sort of not paying attention to what's going on after that, because I turn my focus to the other teams that are still playing in New York sports. But if the Indiana Pacers end up pulling this thing off, and it would be miraculous because of where they were as far as an underdog starting this series, then they get Halliburton hurt and he comes out and he does play last night. They blow out the Oklahoma City Thunder in game 6. They could win the NBA Finals, go back there and pull this thing off. Even the fact that they have it at Game 7, it just makes this whole thing even so much more frustrating for me, the way that the season ended and the Tibbs firing for the Knicks, because it just shows you how close they were. The Knicks were closer than we ever knew. Going into that Boston series, I didn't think that they had a chance. Most people did not, and there was good reason to believe that. They win that series. They get the Pacers, the team that they lost to last year because of all the injuries. They blow a massive lead in game 1. They lose that series, and now they're watching that Pacers team take the best team in the NBA to 7 games in the NBA Finals. And you could make the case that if the Knicks were the third best team in the NBA this year. Like, hands down.
Yeah, I mean, they caught a break in that Celtics series. Both Hauser and Tatum went down.
Yeah, but
they beat caught them. Major breaks, but you know, and that's the thing that I thought going into this particular game 6 with Halliburton with the calf injury. I didn't think he was going to play because, you know, he's risking his Achilles, depending on how bad it is. Now, I know he went into the MRI tube and they looked at it. Maybe it wasn't that bad. Maybe it was just a little bit of a tweak. But, you know, I just, when you think about the Pacers, they, you know, last year they got the breaks when the Knicks got hurt. This year was just basically a flat out, I don't want to call it a choke job, because I think that the Indiana Pacers have been playing great basketball since probably, I would say, March.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like the way that the Mets were, but obviously the Pacers have made it to the finals, where the Mets had the best record in baseball starting at a certain point in the middle of the season and were unbelievable. The Pacers had that type of deal. They were healthy. They got all back together, and it was just they had been the best team record-wise for several months. But, yeah, I mean, I don't look at it so much like, yeah, Tatum going out for sure, and the Celtics did win that Game 5 in impressive fashion without Tatum, and then obviously the Knicks blew him out in Game 6 in that series. But, you know, and then also the Pacers did catch a break with some of the injuries against the Cavaliers.
It is interesting watching Obi Toppin, though. Now, he couldn't fit here, didn't seem to work here. And now he's maturing, and you know, I don't know if they'll win Game 7 or not, but he has been right in the middle of everything that the Pacers have been doing.
Yeah.
And he was a Knick.
Yeah, he was.
He was a Knick draft choice that somebody decided, well, you know, we got Julius Randle, and he and Julius don't fit together. We're going to keep Julius. We'll end up trading Julius. They got nothing for Obi Toppin, basically.
Well, I mean, at the time, he was worth nothing.
But I mean, that's what I'm saying. You have to decide, and I think probably the Rangers and the Islanders and Devils, you know, they have all these young guys on the roster. You got to decide, like, are you giving up on a guy to send him somewhere else so he can actually, I'm not saying he's a starter. I'm saying he comes off the bench, and it's immediately athleticism up and down the court. He can shoot. He can jump out of the gym. He's learned to play better defense than he was when he was here. And he has found his game. He has basically become a legitimate producing NBA player.
Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating to watch, but think about like what the Dallas Mavericks are thinking when Jalen Brunson came here and became one of the best players in the league when he was just, you know, basically an afterthought there in Dallas, and he didn't even sign for that much. I mean, so it works both ways, right? I mean, Jalen Brunson was not Jalen Brunson in Dallas. He was good. He wasn't like this. So I don't know. I don't want to go in.
The other
one
is Isaiah Hartenstein.
Stein.
Isaiah Hartenstein. God,
my. Yeah, but of course, but he came to the Knicks and got better.
He did, and unfortunately, the Knicks couldn't re-sign him because of the NBA idiotic rules.
Yeah, so you can't blame them for that either. I mean, at the time, them trading Obi Toppin, I didn't have an issue with, just like I really liked the OG Anunoby trade when he came over. Right when it happened, and
I mean, that's a different story. They gave up
on young guys there too.
Yeah, but they brought in a championship player who was still very much in his prime.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And it was also a defensive player as well as an offensive player, and you're basically getting yourself an all-star that was still young enough that he could have a long-term impact here on the Knicks roster. So I didn't have a problem with that. I mean, and quite frankly, I guess, you know, RJ Barrett and Emmanuel Quickly, I mean, very popular players here for sure, but they were not the players that, you know, that the Knicks ended up acquiring and going as far as they did with.
Yeah, I mean, in all sports, sometimes the guy has to go somewhere else to flourish. You know, the Julius Randle that we saw in the postseason for a majority of the postseason until he fell off a cliff, you know, probably wasn't going to happen here in New York. You could make a case that the Obi Toppin that you're seeing in Indiana with the way that they play basketball and the way that Rick Carlisle uses that team, he was not going to be as effective here. But, you know, going back to that trade, it didn't feel like they were losing much when they traded Obi Toppin. It just didn't feel like it was, you know, it was disappointing, but it wasn't like, oh, my God, that's all you got for Obi Toppin. It was just like, okay, well, we can now move on from that era, and it's another pick that didn't pan out for us. That's really what it was.
Well, the pick could have panned out had they maybe manipulated some trades earlier on than they did and where they could have kept them.
Yeah, I mean, it could have panned out, but, you know, they made that decision. So, I mean, that to me, I don't think that the Indiana...
Sure, that asset turned into something that they traded away anyway.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not, you know, we're talking, it's just so unfortunate, and this is what the Tibbs firing did was... We're talking about this team like they had a massive failure season. Like they've been running some sort of crap organization for the last couple of years when it's been the exact opposite of that. You know? Like,
yeah.
These are the discussions. It's silly. Like, I mean, I started this segment talking about how close the Knicks were. You know, and then the conversation devolves into all the mistakes they made, which it really shouldn't because they were so close. But the reason why the conversation goes that way is because when you fire the coach, it feels like you failed. And they did not, you know. I mean, they had a really good season. They should have been better, but I mean, they also did take a next step, and probably should have won this Eastern Conference Finals. But
you know, I think back to when Jim Dolan did the Roommates podcast with Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson. Remember, he was talking about, you know, how much money they spent, the team that they built, and they're going to be here for a while.
Yeah,
and. All right, so it felt like kumbaya. Like the owner was there with the players, and the players respected the owner, and everybody seemed to be getting along. And then, you know, after they beat the Celtics, then they come out of the garden, and Jim gives the ball to the little girl in the group of people that were sitting out there waiting for the guys to come out of the garden. You're figuring, man, this is the high point of the next season right now. It's the high point of the last 25 years.
Mm.
That moment right there was amazing.
Yeah, it absolutely was.
And then literally 10 days later, the head coach is fired.
Yeah, and as a fan base, even with the Mets, when you're on this losing streak, you're like, here we go again, losing in Atlanta. You see the coach fired. Here we go again, making a bad decision. You know, it's because of all the years of feeling that way. And hopefully it doesn't work out so negatively firing Tibbs, but it still feels bad. By the way, speaking of Josh Hart, him and the Nets fans are going back and forth. I don't know if you've seen this. He made some sort of comment about the Nets in a derogatory way, much like we do here on his podcast, the Roommates podcast. So Josh Hart posted a video of him playing St. Andrews. So his wife bought him a Christmas gift, which was to go play the Old Course. And he posts a video of him on 18. And a Nets fan
you know, notorious BK Nets, a man who's devoted his life to running a Nets X account, quote tweeted that and said, "Death taxes and the Knicks golfing in June. MSG, the world's emptiest arena." And then Josh Hart fired back, "That's a good one. Now Google my record against y'all since I became a Knick," which obviously is very, very good. But the Nets fans and Josh Hart hating on each other. The slag nut Nets.
The slag nut Nets. But, you know, we need that. We need a little bit of a rivalry between the two franchises.
I mean, there was for a little bit when Durant and Kyrie were here at this point.
Not playing.
Not so much. Jesse in Middletown, New Jersey. What's going on, Jesse?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Great, Jesse. What's up?
So, when the Knicks hired Tibbs, I feel like the Knicks had, before that, Knicks had very little hope. The coaches they had were terrible. So, when they hired him, you had a lick of hope, which is unusual for Knicks fans. He was a guy who had proven success in this league. He was the perfect combination for New York. He rides his guys, but his guys typically love him. And I think that was the case for his whole tenure. I do feel like his players loved him. And if I'm wrong about that, then I'm wrong about this. But I think the Knicks are going to look back at this, and it's going to be the straw that broke the camel's back of this Knicks run. But I also feel like this is like the trend in sports right now. Like, this is the climate. If you don't reach the tip of the iceberg in your short tenure, then their teams are just going to move on. And this is, I think, basketball is the most extreme case of this nowadays. And, you know, it's. I really think we're going to look back and we're going to say this is what did the Knicks in.
How about if you wake up on Monday and you find out that Mike Brown is the head coach of the Knicks? You happy?
Are you kidding me?
No.
No.
I'm asking
No
you.
Way. Who no do
you,
way.
All right,
no
all right
way.
No, so no. I'd say if you had your choice of a head coach right now for the New York Knicks, who would it be other than Tom Thibodeau?
So when they did let him go, I had two names that I would be excited about. Neither of them, which I think are ever going to happen. One of them is Jay Wright. The other one is Hurley. So, you know,
yeah, well,
those aren't going to happen. And that's why, like, and this guy, like, Gio, you said it. This coach, like, they were so close to getting there, and they lost to a team who made it to Game 7 of the NBA Finals against another top three coach in the NBA in Rick Carlisle. So he had the Knicks fighting. They've been the best they've ever been in my lifetime. And you know, you have the best season yet in your tenure, and you let him go. It's not going to look good long term, I don't think.
Yeah. Well, I tend to agree, but I'm hoping that that there's things that were going on in the organization where we didn't see, weren't privy to, and this made more sense to do it. And then we'll see a new coach come in and get better play out of the Knicks for longer in the postseason. I don't feel that way, but you got to hope for it. This guy was also, it was funny, Jesse was misusing phrases. I don't know if it's called malaprops or something, but he goes, if you're a coach and you don't get to the tip of the iceberg...
You're at the tip of the iceberg. Yeah, right.
And then he also said this will be the straw that breaks the camel's back, which is not, I mean, firing the coach is not the straw that breaks the camel's back. Like, that's like many, many decisions, and then finally there's one little decision that ends up breaking the... So he was just throwing stuff out there and hoping that it stuck.
Somebody's got to ask Jim Dolan after the Lakers were sold for $10 billion. Would he consider selling the Rangers and Knicks and MSG? I mean, it's got to be those two teams along with that building. I don't know, given some of the political football nature about MSG and whether they're going to move it or not going to move it or they're going to try to revamp Pennsylvania Station, which they've already revamped. They want to make it even bigger and nicer. So that means the Garden would have to move. I mean, wouldn't it be time that if you were ever going to sell this team or these teams in this situation, wouldn't that be the moment? Wouldn't that be the moment right now?
Yeah. I mean, we'd say that this is the highest moment, but these values of these franchises keep growing and growing. I mean, you saw we were shocked at the Celtics going for what they went for, and then you had the Lakers number almost double that.
You know, by the way, one of the other teams that was sold was the Suns.
Yep. Ishbia.
Ishbia bought the Suns. You had the Waltons buy the Broncos. You had Obviously, this guy, Mark Walter, buying the Lakers now.
The Josh Harris group buying the Commanders.
Right, and you also had Mark Cuban stepping away from the Mavericks.
And the casino people taking the Mavericks. Yeah.
Adelson's.
Yeah, so maybe he does consider
I don't know. I mean, like, if there's ever a moment, and, you know, he's got some of the smartest financial people around him. If there's ever a moment, and he just wants to continue to build these spheres around the world, this would be the moment.
Yeah. Cash out, build your spheres.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's I don't think it's real. I don't think he would ever consider selling, but somebody would have to. Like, I would think Jeannie Buss wouldn't sell unless somebody came to her and gave her some number that she couldn't turn down.
You know, it was unfortunate. It really truly is amazing. It doesn't happen with me as much as it happens with others, but like, you'll be out a day where there's big Rangers news. Like, they'll fire the coach, you just happen to be out the next day, or like Kreider gets traded, just happen to be out. And then yesterday, Al just happened to be out when Jeannie Buss ends up selling the Lakers, and he is like, he's been ogling at Jeannie Buss for the last several months, and
now she's got $10 billion.
Yeah, but you're not going to see as much of her now, though.
Right.
The problem,
she's going to disappear.
Yep. You're going to have to just look at old pictures of her, because there's going to be no new pictures of her.
I should probably still be out there.
Yeah, but is she relevant as much anymore now? You know, former Lakers owner Jeannie Buss leaves supermarket. No, it's not going to happen. She's not going to be at the games anymore. Used to see her.
She looks great.
I mean, she's still going to be a part of the team.
Yeah.
I think she's still going to be running the team, actually.
No.
Governor, yes.
Oh, governor?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're going to give her a job. So maybe you'll still see her around.
But again, they made her an offer that she couldn't refuse.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that's what it would take for Jim Dolan to give up the Rangers, the Knicks, and MSG.
There was a Hulk Hogan, Bubba the Love Sponge story, and a Jeannie Buss story yesterday for Al, and he wasn't here.
And he was not here.
I mean, if you can't trust a guy named Bubba the Love Sponge to be truthful, where are we at in society?
Really, I know. It's really sad. Sad with an exclamation.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Point.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network is a feel-good summer Friday. It looks beautiful out there. This is probably video from 2 years ago, but still, this is the type of day that we're going to have. A wonderful, sunny summer day on the summer solstice. Hey, what's that whole deal with the solstice, Eddie, where you could put an egg in the, like, you know, this whole thing where like the way that
you
Earth...
stand an egg on its... I don't know if it's that or this vernal equinox.
Oh, okay. But there's one of these things, a solstice or the equinox.
You can balance an egg.
You can balance an egg upright because of the way that the Earth is tilted at that particular moment. And I never tried it. And now I just said solstice, and it reminded me of that whole egg thing. You ever do that?
It's the vernal equinox.
Oh, it's the vernal equinox.
Oh, when is that?
Spring. March 21st, thereabouts.
So we blew it.
Yeah, we blew it, yeah.
Well, we got to remember, you'll still be here March 21st, Eddie, yes?
Yes.
Okay. So we'll balance an egg.
AI says balancing an egg on its end is possible and not limited to the equinox.
Oh.
So apparently you could do that on any day.
Well, apparently it's easier on the vernal equinox.
Yeah.
There's CeeLo.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what do you have over there, man? Anything good for us?
Let's see. We're brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Be quick on the local baseball, because it's not all that interesting, I'll be honest. 3-1 game last night in Atlanta. Well, you said it yesterday. Enough with the baseball. I mean, God.
Well, I think that...
No, you did as well. You did.
I did.
You
I
did last that... hour. You were like, I mean, you can play any more baseball.
That was you. That was more you than me.
It was. He's right.
Okay.
I got Boomer's back on that.
Thank you.
3-1 game last night in Atlanta. Met offense struggling. Pitching staff was struggling with walks. The Mets were essentially put out of their misery then in the sixth inning.
Line down the right field line. Falling fast pair of foul. Fair ball into the corner. This will score at least two. Riley the third one coming around. The throw to the plate by McNeil. Not in time. Riley scores all the way from first. It's a three-run double to right for Matt Olson.
That's Keith Radd, Odyssey Mets Radio. Made it 6-1 with the Braves on their way to a 7-1 victory to complete the three-game sweep. They had the Mets a sixth consecutive loss. They did have some good early swings against Spencer Strider, but that dried up quickly. And Boomer mentioned this aspect last hour, and Carlos Mendoza, after the game, saw it the same way.
We started chasing, and, you know, we couldn't do much after that. You know, he kept going. Made us chase, and that was the key there.
That chase rate was a problem. 8 Ks over 6 for Strider. Mets end up striking out 13 times for the game. Francisco Alvarez 0 for 3. 2 more Ks. Met offense struggled throughout the series. Now it's on to Philadelphia for 3 with the Phillies this weekend. Blade Tidwell up from Syracuse to make his second big league start tonight, while Zach Wheeler goes for Philadelphia. It's a 7:15 first pitch on Odyssey Mets Radio. At the stadium yesterday, the Yankees put an end to their 6-game skid with the 9-hitter starring as our thriving player of the game, brought to you by Thrivewell Infusion.
Drives one. Right center field. Look it up, Adele. Say goodbye. A 2-run homer. Trent Grisham. And the Yankees have a 3-2 lead with 2 outs here in the second inning. He jumped on that first pitch.
Dave Sims here on the Fan. 14.
Was Susan off last night?
Yes,
she was under the weather.
Oh, Manuel. She was, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Someone texted me, where's Susan? I'm like, I wasn't listening to the game on the radio, so yeah. I actually didn't know.
Emmanuel did the game with Dave. 14th homer of the season for Grisham. He was 2 for 3. Hit that 2-run long ball. He's our Yankees thriving player of the game, brought to you by Thrivewell, New York's premier infusion and injection center. Saving lives drip by drip. Visit thrivewellinfusion.com. Paul Goldschmidt, next batter, followed with a solo shot, and the Yanks tacked on late for a 7-3 win over the Angels. Cody Bellinger, 3 hits, including an RBI, stating the obvious after a rough week or so for the team.
Definitely feels good hearing the music again and, you know, coming out with a W.
Sinatra there after the win. Next up, Orioles come to town off a 4-game split with the Rays. Tonight, you got Max Fried and 35-year-old Japanese rookie Tomoyuki Sugano. 6:25 pregame coverage here on the Fan and the free Odyssey app. Luke Weaver expected to be activated off the IL. He's back from the hamstring strain a little earlier than originally expected. All right, I want to play you something. You tell me who you think this is and why he's all fired up. It's very quick. Here you go.
Oh, no!
It is notable voice play-by-play guy, yes.
Oh, no!
It is baseball.
Notable baseball play-by-play guys.
Yeah,
they don't exist like they used to.
Well, who did the Rays play?
Rays and the Orioles. It's not from Rays Orioles.
Okay.
I don't know. I've got nothing for you, Steve.
That's Joe
Sorry.
Davis, national play-by-play man. Now he's also Dodgers TV and really bummed, apparently, that an umpire wronged Yoshinobu Yamamoto last night.
Here's the 0-2. It is! Oh, no! Marvin Hudson cost him an immaculate inning!
I mean, that's not even close. Oh. That is... Wow!
Marvin!
That's Davis and Eric Karros, Dodgers TV. You guys are getting a look at it here on CBS Sports
That's
Network.
Ridiculous.
I mean...
I'll tell you why. I think I know why. Catcher was standing up.
Ah...
I'm telling you that screwed the whole thing up because the catcher was like, he was out of his crouch and he was halfway standing up and the ball went right to him. And he just, because of that, he called a ball.
Yeah.
That's my take.
They were very upset about that.
The immaculate inning.
Yeah.
Could have happened.
Now, that wasn't the real drama from this game.
The catcher wasn't standing up.
Yeah. I mean, he was, look, he's got
one left knee on the ground.
Yeah. He was, all right, he wasn't standing, but he was more upright. He wasn't in his full crouch.
He wasn't in his full crouch.
Yeah. He was erect.
He was,
yeah,
erect.
He was erect.
His back was erect.
So that's what I'm saying. He wasn't in his full crouch. Not standing up, but you see what I'm saying. Not in a full crowd.
I mean, I had an umpire's bending down behind both the batter and the catcher. How could he even see it?
That is a bad one. That was almost middle.
God.
Now, I mistakenly yesterday saying, oh, Dodgers swept the Pod. I didn't realize this was a 4-game series. Mm. So my mistake, I apologize. Pods are up 5-0, top of the ninth when things got a little heated. So rookie Jack Little on for his second inning of work for L.A. He drilled Fernando Tatis, who had to leave the game. Padres manager Mike Schilt started shouting towards the Dodgers dugout. And this is now a combination of Padres and Dodgers TV on what ensued.
And yelling at Dave Roberts now, and they're going to come together. Dave Roberts coming out as Schilt was yelling in his direction. And now a little shove from Roberts of Schilt. And now everybody unloading onto the field. The manager started, and now the players are involved too.
It was only a matter of time. But at some point, enough is enough, whether it's accidental or not.
Mike Schilt and Dave Roberts
trying to get at each other. We'll talk later, Dave Roberts is saying.
Yep. And that's not talking. That means in the hall. We'll see one another in a hall.
They already don't like each other.
Both managers get ejected. And then, as you guys just saw on CBS Sports Network, Padres come out in the bottom of the ninth with a base open and drilled Ohtani, who quickly waved his teammates back into the dugout, or else things might have escalated
even further.
Oh, good
for Ohtani for recognizing the situation. But I don't necessarily know that this ball was thrown at Tatis. So with the way the Dodger pitcher reacted, it looked like he was disgusted
not
that
on
the ball
purpose,
got away from
and
him.
It's his kid making his big league debut in his second inning, but this has been a back-and-forth thing, and Al put it on the show sheet. So eight batters were hit in the series. Ohtani and Tatis Jr. each hit twice within 3 days. Dodgers have hit Tatis five times since the start of last season, so this has been a back and forth, ongoing thing, eye for an eye.
Do you think
situation.
He was waving his teammates back in the dugout or waving the trainer back into the dugout?
Perhaps that.
That's what I thought when I saw it. Like, hey, I'm fine. Don't worry
but
about
the
it.
Bench reacted accordingly. Yeah. You would think they, after what happened in the prior half inning, and you guys saw both benches empty with the managers. And Ohtani
and this
clearly
is obvious.
And Suarez got thrown at it. He got thrown at it.
100% obvious that they're throwing at Ohtani.
Yeah. And they hit him earlier in the leg in the series, right?
Yeah. So,
maybe take him out in that spot.
Well, they were trying to mount a comeback there, and they did actually get the either tying or winning run to the plate. They ended up, it was 5-0. They got three runs across, and then they came up short. And there was we saw Torrens the other day would play the ball with his mask in this game in the ninth inning. It wasn't the Padre catcher fault, but the ball got like lodged under his chest protector, and they advanced the runner, so the Dodgers scored a run on that. And they had a chance to come back and win and complete the four-game sweep, but they did not. But little escalation of that rivalry out there.
Hey,
in the
just
West.
Like the Dodger fans versus the Padre fans. Don't they fight a lot?
Yeah, they do. They do. Speaking of fighting with fans, you see this video of the
Pirates
guy out in the bullpen trying to jump slap a fan.
Jump slap's a good way to put it, yeah.
I mean, it's what he had to do. Yeah. It was elevated. It's all in one motion, trying to jump up and slap him. And the fan, I guess, was ejected for whatever he or she may have said. I'm assuming it's a he. So he got weird stuff going on all over the league. And you had the Rays reliever take the 105-mile-per-hour line drive to his face or chin in the dugout. He had to be stretchered off, but gave the thumbs up, the universal sign for I'll be okay.
I'll be okay.
Yeah, a lot going on. Here's a little video of that. So you saw the immediate reaction here from the Orioles batter as there was a quick concern in the dugout, but it sounds like everything for now at least should be okay there. So Adley Rutschman was at the plate there. Reaction from the Rays players. There was some concern, but there's the thumbs up. So guess he's going to be okay, which is good news. Let me take you to Indiana now. NBA Finals game number 6 last night. The Thunder were going for the closeout. Pacers got Tyrese Halliburton in the lineup despite the calf strain, and it ended up working out quite nicely for them on their home court.
Shepherd drives the baseline, gets to the goal, laid it up too hard with the left hand, but got his own rebound. 4:15 left. Toppin from the left wing knocks down another one.
Wow. Toppin would not be denied. Thought he might work some more clock there.
104-80, just over 4 minutes to play.
Pacers radio, big night for Obi Toppin. Team high 20 points off the bench. He hit four threes. Pacers were up by 30 after three quarters. They end up with a 108-91 victory to send this game to a game number 7. Six guys in double figures for Indiana. Halliburton had 14 points, 5 assists across 23 minutes. Played a little clip from him joining Scott Van Pelt on ESPN. Last hour, and now this is another one where this is becoming a thing, and I guess I'll have to get myself further educated on this show. First, we had Jalen Brunson, and then we had Jackson Dart, and we had Tommy DeVito. Now you can throw Halliburton into the equation, as he was talking about dealing with life with this calf strain at home, off the court.
My family, you know, my girl Jade, staying on me to keep doing the treatment when the people aren't there. You know, she's like, I'm trying to watch. She wants to watch Love Island right now. I'm like, oh, she's like, yo, before we put it on, we gotta, you know, put something on the calf.
Love Island's everywhere. Man.
I mean, maybe I gotta watch this season. If it's that good, I saw KFC do a 1 Minute Man on it. Said that there's a great villain girl in it as well. Maybe I got
a villain girl.
Yeah. That's what he said. He said she was unbelievable, like a great cast. So
wow.
I mean, we got what? So you had the Giants. It's Scataboo and Dart, right? Was it those two?
Was it Scataboo too? Well, Dart and
Tommy
and
DeVito. That's right. Dart and DeVito.
So they're going to go on the show together.
Jalen Brunson and Tyrese Halliburton.
Yeah.
And those are guys that are just admitting it.
Right.
Got to be millions of others.
Every day there's somebody new. So yeah. It's a good pub for Peacock, I guess. Here's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Asked, did they feel the weight of being one win away from their first championship with this performance?
Definitely in the back of our minds, for sure.
No, we didn't play like it at all, and that's why the night went the way it did. We got exactly what we deserved, what we earned, and we have to own that.
Well, now they'll go back home, see if they can finish it off Game 7, which will be on Sunday night. Travelers Championship, round number one. Austin Eckrod fired an early 8-under 62, later matched by Scottie Scheffler, who was flirting with a 59 for a while. But after a bogey late in the round, he settled for a 62 himself. They share the lead at 8-under par heading into today.
All right, CeeLo, so you know how we talk about Brandon Tierney using some words that may be unnecessary, like using the vocabulary that became a whole thing on his show.
Sure.
So you were talking about this Dennis Santana thing where he was jump slapping the fan. So I was reading the story in the Big Lead this morning, and the guy who wrote the story, I think, was pulling a Tierney here and using an unnecessary vocabulary word, so much so that I had never heard it.
Oh, wow.
Never heard of this word.
New word for you. All right.
I had to look it up, and I had no idea how to pronounce it until I looked it up. And I'm curious to see if you guys, Eddie's going to know, of course, but if anybody else knows. So this is the article. It's unclear what prompted Santana's ire, though the combination of alcohol and ennui during a late-game rain delay probably didn't help temper the fans' behavior.
Ennui?
Ennui.
How are we spelling that?
E-N-N-U-I. And I'm like, ennui? When I'm reading it, I'm like, what is, it's like, this has got to be a typo. And then I was like, and then it's alcohol. And then I'm thinking, when it says alcohol in ennui, I'm like, is this like Tusi, like that new drug that was out there? I'm thinking it's like a drug. And then I'm like, on, and then I look it up, ennui. Anybody? Eddie's nodding. Al?
I've never heard it. I'm just going to guess. Almost like saying, like, you know, alcohol and whatnot, like something like that, like just other things that go along with it. No,
no. Right. You want to take a guess there what ennui might be? Alcohol and ennui.
It's like a proper noun.
Would it be alcohol and being upset?
So, kind of. This is the dictionary.com definition of ennui.
Ennui.
A feeling of listlessness and dissatisfaction arising from a lack of occupation or excitement.
Wow.
So, in other words, their team was losing.
Yeah.
This person was just
mad and
mad,
had nothing going on.
And lit up.
And lit up. So, I mean,
that French word, the way you're pronouncing it makes me think it is.
I guess. So,
ennui.
J.P. Hornstra, who wrote for the Big Lead here, decided to toss ennui at us.
Ennui.
Yeah, which I'm thinking, I mean, how many other people have read this, had to look that up?
That's
you
one
word. That could have been written by AI.
Yeah, but there is a name here. Sometimes it says, like, media services or something.
Sometimes they use the AI. You never know.
They should start adding. What's his name? What's the writer's name there? What'd you say?
J.P. Hornstra.
J.P. Hornstra and AI.
And AI.
Throw that in there.
Chat GPT.
Ennui sounds like one where teammates would, like, challenge a fellow teammate. Hey, next time you do a one-on-one interview on TV, try to work this word in. A little challenge.
I feel like Boomer had a little ennui during your last update. I got to be honest.
This one or last time?
This one.
I don't know about it. He was just checked out.
Yeah, that wasn't ennui. That was just...
I mean, he is the one who was reading about ennui while you were giving your update.
It was apathy.
Not me. I was listening. Okay.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this Feel Good Summer Friday. We'll get back into the sports and the fun, but I want to take a couple of minutes to honor and mention some important things to us. So coming up on Monday, June 23rd, it's the 18th annual Brian Bonin Grand Slam Challenge. It is at Farmingdale State College. And the game pits Nassau against Suffolk, a donation of $10 per ticket. It is a baseball game to honor the memory of Comac coach Brian Bonin, who was a dear friend of our brand manager, Ryan Hurley. He passed away way too soon at the age of 33 due to melanoma. So there is a Brian Bonin scholarship fund that all the money, all proceeds go to. So if you are a Long Islander and you love baseball, Nassau against Suffolk, June 23rd at 7 p.m. at Farmingdale State College.
And as I mentioned, all proceeds go to the Brian Bonin Scholarship Fund, which raises money for college-bound students or to help families going through a similar struggle that need financial support and or guidance. And also, yesterday we were together in Manhasset honoring the memory of a dear friend of yours that became a friend of mine because of his generosity and personality, and I could go on and on about the energy and philanthropic and giving that Joe Dusich was in every day of his life, but you knew him for a very, very long time. I was blessed to have him in my life for 7 years, 8 years, and unfortunately passed away earlier this month while on vacation, and there will be a funeral mass today. But really, really rough one when you told me. You prefaced it with, this is a bad one, knowing that it was going to hit hard, and it certainly has. But he left more of an impact than a lot of people I know.
I mean, the amount of people that he touched in this city of ours, whether it be through his JAD business, which is a janitorial supply company that he ultimately sold recently, or whether it was the many charities that he supported, from juvenile diabetes to my own foundation. He was on my board, to Catholic charities and so many more. I can't even keep count of the amount of times that he and I were together doing something along the lines of charitable giving through, you know, his kindness and his love and his jovial spirit. You know, I had a chance to spend a lot of really quality time with Joe over the last couple of months. We went to the Eagles out at the Sphere together. I saw him down in Florida. He is just going to be missed deeply by all of us. I mean, most of the people that I ended up reaching out to let them know that Joe Dusich had passed away, it sounded like a gut punch on the other end of the phone. And there were many of them, just like when I told you, because he was so impactful in many of our lives. I met him in 1993 when I got traded to the Jets, and I was renovating a house in Strathmore Vanderbilt in Manhasset. And his young son, James, at the time, he was about 8 or 9 years old, comes to my house and said, can you come over for dinner? And I said, sure, I'll be more than happy to come over for dinner. Where do you live? And they lived right around the corner from us. So I walked over one night to go have dinner, and I knocked on the door, and Joe D answers the door and looks up at me, and because Joe is a shorter guy, he looks up at me and he says, you know, are you a big deal or something? Why are you here for dinner? And I said, well, go ask your little brother, James, because he's the one who invited me. And from that moment on, we were busting each other's chops for years and years and years. But this was a hard one for many of us, and I know my entire board and all of our friends, he will be deeply missed. And today we will lay him to rest, and all I can say is that he has left a legacy behind that many of us are very touched by.
Yeah, he couldn't have been nicer to me and my family. He's just one of those guys that the second that he knew that we were doing the show together and I was a part of your world, I immediately became part of his world.
Yeah, he loved Fire Island, Seaview in particular.
Yep.
Loved the Island Mermaid, Seaview Market. That was his stomping ground in the summer times. He loved his apartment in New York City. He loved Manhasset, his friends there and family there. He has three wonderful boys. They're all married. He has a ton of grandchildren. And right before he left for Italy, I think it was June 1st or 2nd, his grandson Joey was pitching for his high school or his baseball team, who I think Phil Simms' grandson plays on the same team.
Nice.
And he sent me pictures. He said, look at this. Can you believe this? And he was so proud of his family and his boys and his grandkids that I told them that yesterday. And I know that they knew that, but sometimes when you lose somebody like this so sudden, it's really nice to hear those things, just how much your dad absolutely believed in you, loved you, and wanted nothing but the best for all of you.
Yeah, and he was one of those guys, no matter what he asked, you jumped to do it because he did everything for you. And there was a couple of golf tournaments that he forgot to tell us about until a couple days before. And
yes.
Goes, I need you. I need you at this thing.
Show
all right, Joe.
Up. We're there.
We'll be there. Anything for you.
Yeah, and you know, I know Al and Eddie knew Joe D. They've been to his house over in Fire Island. And I don't know. It's Fire Island's not going to be the same without Joe D, that's for sure. And the Seaview community has lost a great one, and we lost a great friend. And just like I said, today's going to be a long day. It's going to be a hard day, but certainly a celebration for the life well-lived by the 78-year-old Joe Dusich.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.